believe that the Lord wants me to share some things this morning concerning the very fact that you and I are living in one sense, we're living as aliens in a land that the Bible says is controlled or manipulated by the God of this world. In other words, there's somebody who is loose in this earth. His name is Lucifer, the devil, and he's trying to manipulate you and I into doing things the way he wants them to be done, as opposed to the way God wants them to be done. God is desirous for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, what that look like? Well, the best way to find out what that looks like is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus was like. Understand what Jesus was like. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who has come as a humble servant to serve his people, has come as a person who had all authority and all right to totally come in and trash everything that he didn't like. One who chose to come in as a humble human being to be able to save that which has been wounded and hurt by the enemy's schemes. So Jesus came, and as we are conformed into his image, we begin to understand how he views things. And I think most of us in this earth today need a transformation or a shift in our paradigm or the way we see things, the way we are able to look at things. I believe that's a lifelong transition, but if we'll begin on it, if we'll begin, first of all, realizing that we need to change, we need to have a paradigm shift. What do I mean by a paradigm shift? Well, let's look at it this way. The best way I can explain it is to think of the radical Muslims. That's an easy one to talk about because everybody knows what the radical Muslims are like when they go in and they will persecute and kill and maim and so forth to get their agenda accomplished upon the earth. Well, they are seeing things from a certain paradigm. They're seeing things from a certain point of view, and they can't see anything else. They just see that point of view that they believe that they are called to use violence in order to advance their kingdom, what they see as kingdom, and what they see as rule and reign for Allah. And they push into that, and they see things from that point of view. And if you bring them over here and plant them in this culture, they're still going to see things that way. It would take many years and even decades to change that kind of thinking, that kind of culture. Well, in the same way, you and I can be looking at things through a certain paradigm that if we do not recognize kingdom culture, we'll look at things through the eyes of the world. We'll see kingdom culture through the eyes of the world. And God wants us to see kingdom culture through the eyes of the kingdom, not the eyes of the world. The eyes of the world, even when it comes to Christianity, would say, I got to be good, I got to do this and do that in order to be right before God. But yet, kingdom says, Jesus Christ is the only one that can make us righteous. And if we are going to be righteous before God, the only way that we can come into a place of right standing with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's no other way. The world would say that there are many other ways. There's many different ways. And then you'll even hear some Christians suggest that there's other ways into the kingdom of God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But kingdom culture clearly states that Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's not an ambiguous statement. I mean, very, very clear in what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So when we look at salvation, when we look at eternal life, when we look at entering into heaven, we see that there's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kingdom culture. But even as we enter into being kingdom-minded, often we drum up our own kind of thinking, what that means or what it's like or what it even means to please God. And I was thinking this morning as I was praying, I was thinking about how years ago, back before I was ever even in ministry, I used to get up early in the morning and I would want to pray. And I felt I, I just so wanted to serve God, so wanted to do the right thing, so wanted to please God. So I would get up early in the morning to pray before I would go to work, and it was kind of difficult to stay awake. I don't know about you, but I can fall asleep when I'm reading the Word or praying. It just seems like sometimes you can fall asleep pretty quick. And so I would do things. I would kneel to read the Bible because I'm kneeling on a hardwood floor. Well, you get kind of uncomfortable. You might doze off, but after a while you'll wake up with a big cramp, or your knees will be too sore or something. That'll keep you awake. And I would do that. And one of the what motivated me to do that to some degree is because I so wanted to please God. I just wanted to please God, wanted to know Him better, but wanted to please God as well. While the motive behind it, at least to some degree, I believe was in line with the kingdom of God, with kingdom of God culture, there was also a thinking that there was something that I could do in the flesh that could please God. There was something that I could do myself to please God. But yet the Bible clearly states that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's absolutely impossible to believe that we could be pleasing to God in any way, shape, or form. So everything we do, there has to be an element of faith in it. And for me, when I think of it back then, I mean, I'm not saying I shouldn't did that, but when I look back on it, I could see there was an element of works involved in it. There was an element of works involved in it. In other words, God wasn't telling me to do this. It was just something I wanted to do. And I look at it from this day, and I believe that there was lots of good fruit came out of it because I got to know the Word of God, I got to know what it was like to pray and so forth, but there seemed to be an element of, you know, I would be disappointed in myself if I didn't do it. And so I was thinking about that, meditating on that, and I believe the Lord was speaking to me about it. Because last night I was studying the Word of God, and I was preparing for today, and which I don't know why I prepared for today, because I'm not going anywhere near that, it seems. But anyway, I was thinking about that, and it got late in the evening. I thought, oh man, I'm tired, and I want to go home and go to bed. So I came downstairs, and I thought I must go in and pray for a while just before I went home. And so I came in, and I began to pray, and something happened when I began to pray. It just seemed like suddenly I got woke up. I had some fire in me, and I began to pray. I began to pray for all of us as a church, and just began to bring the church before the Lord, and the Lord was stirring me to pray. And there was times I'm thinking, man, it's getting late. I'm going to be tired tomorrow, and so forth. But yet I had this on the inside of me, like the Lord saying, stay with me just a little bit longer. Just stay a little bit longer. Suddenly, it was nothing to do with works. It was just something I wanted to do, something I desired to do, something that it was a pleasure to do, to be with the Lord. To me, there's something about God wanting to take us into a place of seeing things from a kingdom culture point of view, that our want to becomes so big in us, our want to be in the presence of the Lord, our want to be able to be a part of kingdom culture that stirs us on the inside, and it begins to drive us and steer us in the kingdom culture activity out of a want to more than a got to. I need to. I need to make something happen. But just to be able to be with Him. And I don't know that there's anything that can transform us any more than being in His presence. The longer I walk with the Lord, I really feel the more peace, at peace I become with Him. Now, it would be pleasurable for me to say that the longer I walk with the Lord, the more peace I am with the world. I say it'd be more pleasurable because it'd be easier to handle. But that isn't the case. It seems to me that the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I find that the world is at odds with kingdom culture. We can still have peace in the midst of that, and that's why it's so important to be cultivating our relationship with God, to be cultivating our relationship with the Lord, because the things of the world will come against us and try to dismantle us or disrupt us from our peace with God. See, that is the goal of the enemy. The enemy desires for people to be standing up here and have a people out here to worship Him. The enemy would just be so thrilled if we all just worshiped him. If we all just did what we do to the Lord, to him. The only trouble is the enemy, he wouldn't come in his presence and cause rejoicing to come. He'd come in the midst of us and cause us to hate one another. You see, the enemy is looking for worship. He desires to be worshiped. The enemy, the God of this world, desires to be worshiped. And he's doing everything he can in this atmosphere around us to influence us to worship him. How would we worship him? Well, one way is we think, well, I've just got all my eyes upon me. My eyes are, you know, I'm having this trouble. I'm having that trouble. What's going to happen to me down the road? Blah, blah, blah. All about me. My eyes and my function are on me. And you and I say, well, I'm not worshiping the devil. I'm a little bit consumed with myself, although most of us wouldn't realize that. Maybe I'm a little bit too consumed with myself, but I'm not worshiping the devil. No, you see, there's only two entities that will be worshiped. One is God and one is the enemy. One or the other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except me. We will either worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or we will worship and bow down to the enemy. We make a choice. When we come together to worship God, we make a choice. That is why it's so important to come as a body of believers together to worship, because we are making a statement. Devil, we don't belong to you. We belong to Jesus. We are making a statement. And these statements need to be made. I'm telling you, folks, that is how a major principle in the kingdom culture is that we declare things. We speak out things. The words of our mouth will determine and speak out in the spirit realm who we worship. It is so crucial that we declare. We sang about it this morning. Paraphrasing what they sang is the scripture, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the word that comes out of your mouth gives a statement who you worship. The way you act makes a statement who you worship. If you act like the world, you are making a statement saying you're not a part of kingdom culture. When you live like the world, you're not living like in kingdom culture. But when you live in kingdom culture according to kingdom principles, you are making a powerful statement. You are declaring to the principalities, the powers, the rulers of wickedness in heavenly places, in the spirit realm. You are making a statement whether you worship the King of Kings or whether you worship the Lord of Lords. And there's no in between. Isn't this a hallelujah message? Well, if you really realize, if you are one of those who are, by everything you do, you're declaring that you are part of the kingdom. It's a time of rejoicing. But when I found out, way back in 1980, when I found out that I was on the wrong road, it was sobering to me, extremely sobering, because I recognized, when I came to a place where I recognized there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and I was on the wrong path. And it didn't sit well with me. When I thought of the consequences of ending up on the road that I was on, it really, something on the inside of me, every part of my being began to cry out to know the right way. And when you cry out to Jesus, he will always meet you. But I just want to leave you with this thought this morning. There is a realm that overshadows or supersedes this earthly realm. And it's called the spiritual realm. The Bible talks about three heavens. There's the heaven that we can see out here, the sky and so forth. There is what the Bible calls, there's a third heaven, which is the throne of God. The Bible talks about the first heaven and the third heaven. So if there's a first and the third, there's got to be, or if there's a third, there's got to be a first and second. And the first is this earth or this sky that we see. The third is the heavenly realm where God dwells and the angelic forces dwell and heaven itself exists. But there is a second heaven, and in that second heaven is where demonic forces dwell. where they try to influence this world through their manipulation. And they have did everything they can in order to get us to see things through a certain paradigm. They would get us to look at things in ways that will distort reality, in ways that will cause us to act according to the world system. They manipulate things through the media, especially through the media. So many things have been manipulated in this world toward darkness through the media. We need to pray for the media. That's a sphere of authority that we have to enter into and pray and begin to bring some wholesome movies forth. And there are some today that's coming forth, thank God, much better than it was in the past. But doesn't that influence your mind? Can you see that? Do you see that, that through the media, through television, through movies and so forth, our society has been shaped? Sure, I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see that. Well, there has to be a counter reaction to that. And we cannot just look at that. We cannot look at the things that the world is putting out and thinking that they are not influencing or not affecting us, because they go deep down within our spirit being and they begin to cause us to change things, to look at the way we see things differently. So if you hear, you've all heard this before, if you hear a lie long enough, you can believe that it's truth, it becomes the truth, or people think it's the truth. If you hear it said long enough, well, it's the same thing. We've been bombarded over and over and over and again. Society has been bombarded with things of darkness. And now what is called evil is referred to as good, and what is called good is referred to as evil. We're getting very close to the days that we live in now where the Bible will be considered a hate book. Getting very close to that. But I thank God we still have freedom today in this world. But I believe that we have to take this kind of thing serious. And the reason why I say that is, now, if we will keep this in mind, when we read the scriptures, we'll realize these are not just nice verses that are pleasant to our hearing. They are verses that are going to keep us living in kingdom culture, or get us living in kingdom culture. Verses like Philippians 4:6, where it talks about, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and thanksgiving, let the request be made known unto God. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. And then he says, finally, my brethren, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is righteous, what is ever of good report, whatever is of faith, think on these things. Now, that is, you read that and say, yeah, that'd be nice to live. That'd be a nice way, and that'd kind of help us to do that. But we don't realize those are really strategic things that we have to walk in, or our paradigm will be constantly toward the things of darkness. We'll see things through that paradigm of darkness. See, those are serious scriptures. And the Apostle Paul said, I pray that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was a real prayer. And I'm looking forward to a greater infilling. Well, my time is gone. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I thank God for God not leaving us in any particular place along the journey. I thank God that He's constantly desires us to be transformed. And to be transformed, and to be transformed, and to be changed. He desires that we be changed. He desires that we be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to talk about what holds us back, what's holding us back this morning. I want you to just to ask yourself, what's holding you back from being transformed? What's happening in your life that you could do differently? Maybe there's some things that you're doing, that you're a part of, even the way you think, that is more worldly culture than kingdom culture. Because if it's in worldly culture, then you are making a statement in the realm of the Spirit about who you serve. That's why I love to praise Jesus. I want every demon in hell to see who I'm praising. I want every demonic force to know that I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I've bowed my knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he's under my feet because of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you, God, for your grace this morning. And Lord, as we are involved and just about to bring our giving before you, our tithes and our offerings before you, Lord, we see this as part of the kingdom culture, God. The world would look at that as foolishness, but Lord, we see it as an awesome privilege to be able to sow into the kingdom of God. Lord, we think of our awesome example, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve." So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to serve this morning, to serve you as kingdom people, as citizens of the kingdom of God. What a joy it is, Lord, to be found as citizens of the kingdom of heaven today. We praise you for that. We worship you, Lord Jesus. And God, as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning, I thank you, Father, that as we do so, we are making a statement. We are declaring we are kingdom citizens. We worship you in this, in Jesus' name. You probably all heard of stories about people who have given themselves over to lengthy periods of fasting and praying and being maybe some even in a monastery, and they've just separated from society and so forth. They're just going after God. One of the individuals that we read about is probably a guy by the name of Brother Andrew, who was a man who was isolated from the world and just really seeking after God. And there's all kinds of people that we could mention that did that in order to seek God. I do not believe that God wants us all to be those kind of people, to separate ourselves off from society in that way. But I do believe that you and I can come to a place in our Christian experience where everything we do, we recognize the presence of God is with us. Every place we go, we recognize the presence of God. Every decision we make is made with the influence of the presence of God. We can be a people who are in prayer at any moment. If we are conscious of the kingdom culture that we want to live in, then we can be going into the grocery store and be saying a quick prayer. And that is just as powerful as if you being separated yourself and you're going to pray for an hour. But if you can have a prayer life, Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great man of God, God used him tremendously. He used him tremendously in bringing healing and all kinds of things to his generation. And he was asked one time about prayer. And he said this, he said, "For the life of me," he said, "I don't think I could ever pray more than 15 minutes. But then," he said, "but I never go more than 15 minutes without prayer, without praying." And I think we can become a people like that, that we can be in that place of prayer at any moment. We don't have to be religious about it. Think we have to be in a certain place to pray, certain way, in a certain position to pray. I believe that we can pray when we're in the business world, and no matter what we're doing, we can become so kingdom culturally minded that it will influence everything we do. I believe that with all my heart. I do. But all God is asking us to be willing. Ask him to show up into every situation, no matter what you're doing, whether you're painting a house, you're driving a car, you're whatever you're doing, ask him to invite him in. Invite him in. How do we invite him in? Well, you're vacuuming the floor. You're thinking, "God, I just thank you so much for giving me a floor to vacuum. Thank you so much, Lord, for the house that I have to live in. Thank you so much, Lord, for the good things that you have for me. I see every good and perfect gift comes down from you." Thank him all the time. Now, before we go, some of you may not know why I do this quite often, but I do it because I really believe it's part of kingdom culture. I'm going to declare something over you. I'm going to decree something over you. And as we decree these things, receive it into your life. As we decree blessing over you. And I'm so glad some of you really have caught on to this, because at one time I remember I had not done it for a while, and some people had come to me and said, "We need to hear those declarations over us. We need those because that's part of kingdom culture. Now, Father, I bless these people, God. I speak blessing over these people in the name of Jesus. I declare that they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus, I declare that they are the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. I declare that the favor of God is upon them. I declare that they're blessed in the city, they're blessed in the country, they're blessed when they lie down, they're blessed when they get up. I declare the favor of the Lord is upon everything they do. I declare that whatever they put their hand to prospers in the name of Jesus. I declare that they are prosperous people, that they are prosperous and they are in good health, even as their soul prospers. I declare that there are people who have a heart after God. There are people who have a heart after the kingdom and desire to see the kingdom advance. Lord, I decree and declare over each and every one that the presence of God goes with them. The anointing of God is upon them. And as they go out into the world, they are influencers. They influence the world with their kingdom presence in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your grace in this now. I bless them with the blessing of the Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody said yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, when you go out those doors, you go out into your mission field. You go out into your mission field, and you're called to bring the kingdom culture out into your mission field.